Hi everyone, welcome to the weekly question and answer session for members of the Personal Paleo Launchpad. I'm Laura Schoenfeld. I'm a registered dietitian with a master's degree in public health.
And I'm Kelsey Marksteiner, a registered dietitian with a master's in human nutrition and functional medicine.
Thanks for joining us for this week's question and answer session. We'll be answering your questions from the private Q&A section of the forum, so if you have a question about your personal paleo code or about nutrition in general, let us know by submitting your question in the members-only area of the forum and we'll do our best to answer it on the next show. And remember, this is just general advice and should not be used in place of medical advice from a licensed professional. So you ready to get started with our first question, Kelsey?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, and this one's for you, Laura.
Okay.
I've been saving the fat when I cook bacon and using it for cooking, but it is commercial, not pastured bacon. So am I doing more harm than good with it? Should I try to find pastured bacon or switch to olive oil or pastured butter? Also, I find that it never seems to go bad, so I keep it indefinitely. The fat at the bottom of the container may be months old. Is that okay?
Okay, so I'll start with the first question here, which is, should this person switch to pastured bacon, and are they doing more harm than good if they're eating the commercial bacon? So, Kelsey and I kind of chatted a little bit about this before we did the recording today, and I think we would both agree that bacon in general is just kind of one of those foods that is overhyped and kind of thought to be way more healthy in extreme quantities than it is.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that it's unhealthy, and I certainly think that pastured bacon is a better choice than regular bacon. I do eat bacon once in a while, and I have some pastured bacon in my fridge for, when I want to eat it. But that said, I don't necessarily have it daily. I might not even have it weekly, and I think even lately I might only have eaten it a couple times per month. Because I just don't think it's the most nutrient-dense food that I could be eating, and I don't necessarily want to replace other foods with bacon when I don't think it's necessarily going to provide too many benefits. Same goes for the fat. So, bacon fat is fine. It's probably not the worst fat you could cook with. Like, I'd rather you use commercial bacon fat than, like, Crisco or like one of those vegetable oil blends or something like that. But that said, I don't think it's the best choice of fat to use, especially if it's commercial bacon. So,
mm-hmm.
If you're using pastured pork lard and it's, hasn't been high temperature heated from frying bacon, which is another issue that, I have with using bacon fat. But pastured lard will have a couple of health benefits. It's higher in monounsaturated fats. It has vitamin D in it, usually if the animals were allowed to go outside, which, if they're pastured, that's kind of assumed that they were getting exposure to sun. But it's certainly a fine fat to use. But like I said, the bacon fat is usually from when you're frying bacon at a kind of high temperature. High temperature heat like that can damage oils. And if it's a conventional bacon, then it's going to have a higher amount of omega-6s in it. So omega-6s are more fragile at those high temperatures. And again, a lot of this is conjecture. I can't say for certain that it's going to cause any problem. But, if you're looking for the optimal choices here, then commercial bacon fat is not an optimal choice. As far as doing more harm than good, I would say probably at best it's neutral. I certainly wouldn't say it's a good fat to use. It's not going to give you health benefits necessarily. It may just not cause harm. But again, it could potentially be harmful if it's oxidized and it's been heated at a very high temperature for a longer period of time. And then as far as, trying to find pastured bacon, yeah, I think that's always a good choice, whether it's bacon or whatever meat you're eating. Naturally raised animals you can find for those products, the better they're going to be. If you're cooking, and I wouldn't say to switch to olive oil, I would say butter, ghee, maybe grass-fed tallow, so that's beef fat. even like I said, that you can find pastured lard, which is the same thing as bacon fat. It just doesn't have that smoky flavor. And that's going to be better than using conventional reused bacon fat. So, finally, to address the last issue about it never seeming to go bad, I'm assuming that this person's keeping it in the fridge. I would hope that they're keeping it in the fridge, but
Yeah, I actually keep mine in the freezer if I do save some.
yeah, so it's at least refrigerated, if not frozen. And, I also find that if I render my own fat from, if I make bone broth or something like that, I often save the fat and render it, which means I cook it at a high enough temperature that the water kind of boils off. So that kind of fat, the reason why it lasts so long is because bacteria can't really grow on pure fat. The only thing that would potentially cause it to go bad is if the fat goes rancid. And if it's kept in the fridge out of direct light in the freezer, that's actually going to prevent it from going rancid. So, the fat shouldn't go bad if it's kept cold. If it's kept out, on the counter or something, it's potentially possible that it could go rancid. And eating rancid fat is definitely not a good idea, and it's probably something that you want to be aware of, whether you're using bacon fat or possibly even eating nuts that are somewhat too old. If they smell a little rancid, then you shouldn't eat those either. But again, like I said, if it's generally completely free of moisture and it's kept in the fridge or the freezer, then even if the fat is like, I mean, I would say, I would assume, especially if it's frozen, that it could last a couple years
Yeah,
and
I
be
would say
fine.
that's probably true.
So, and maybe in the fridge it would even last a year plus. I mean, it's one of those things that you're not necessarily going to know if it goes bad. It's really difficult for it to go bad if it's kept cold. So, like I said, as long as you're keeping it refrigerated and you're not necessarily reheating it to super high temperatures and then putting it back in the container, then it should be fine. Do you have any thoughts on that topic?
Yeah, I mean, I generally agree with you. I really think that it's just bacon in general is kind of overhyped in the paleo world. You just seem to hear a lot about it for whatever reason, which
I think it's
is
like the forbidden food. It's like, oh my God, bacon's not the worst thing in the world. Now I'm going to eat a ton of it.
So yeah, I think people get a little overzealous about their bacon eating habits when they find out that it's not the worst thing in the world. And it's kind of the face of saturated fat a lot of times. And I think for that reason, when people hear, "Oh, saturated fat is good for me," they feel like they can eat as much bacon as they want. But I definitely don't think that it's the healthiest food. I definitely think that pastured bacon, of course, is better than commercial bacon. Commercial bacon, I really try to stay away from the stuff personally. I mean, I don't know. I just don't have a good feeling about it. It just seems like it's, not a great choice. And just like looking at pastured bacon versus commercial bacon, even when you cook it, like, I don't know, there's something kind of like disgusting to me about commercial bacon. It's like all thin and it just looks too perfect. I don't know, it's
It's
weird.
a little bit too pink.
Right, exactly. So I just don't think, and this is like completely my opinion, obviously, but I don't think it's the greatest thing to choose to eat. And like you talked about, there are some benefits to pastured bacon fat, like the vitamin D, all that kind of stuff, better omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. So you just want to keep that in mind. And I mean, from my own personal experience, I'll tell you that I really try to stay away from commercial bacon, but I definitely eat pastured bacon on occasion. I certainly don't think it's bad for anyone, but like you said, it's cooked at a really high temperature, which can be not the best thing in the world, but since it's, mostly saturated fat has a better ratio of those fats, then it's a little better for you in that regard. So yeah, I would say in like really small amounts, the commercial bacon fat is probably okay. Like I mean, it's certainly not the best thing to eat, but it's not the worst thing to eat either. Like you said, I'd much rather see someone eating that rather than like canola oil or Crisco, something like that. So I'd say really small amounts commercial bacon is okay, or commercial bacon fat is okay. And then pastured bacon, yeah, I mean, I even think, a couple times a week or maybe once a week is okay for that, but I wouldn't make it a huge part of your diet. And I'd really, like you said, it kind of pushes out other more nutrient-dense foods if you start to eat it every day. So I'd try not to do that. But I will say that obviously bacon adds wonderful flavor to food. So it can be a really good thing to use, but because it's so flavorful, you really can get away with not a lot of it to kind of get that effect. Like I would much rather use bacon like in vegetable dishes rather than just eat it straight because I think it really just adds a lot more to the meal when I use it in smaller amounts as a flavoring agent, and that way I'm not eating a ton of it either.
Yeah, I actually think bacon's a really good food to use as a way to make healthy foods that you don't like more palatable. So,
Right.
one of the things I use bacon for or bacon fat is if I'm actually cooking liver, which I don't love liver. I'm not that, like, it's not like I eat it and enjoy it necessarily, but to make it more enjoyable, I'll, cook a piece or two of bacon and then fry the onions and the fat from
Yeah.
that bacon and then cook the liver in it. And same thing goes for like vegetables. So Brussels sprouts or broccoli or asparagus or any of these vegetables that you or maybe like the way they do down here in the South with like fatback and collard. If you're using bacon to kind of just enhance the flavor of healthy foods and it's not like you're just eating a plate full of bacon or like cooking a pork chop in 3 tablespoons of bacon fat. Like, I just feel like bacon should be something that is either, one or two pieces with a meal, like a breakfast meal, or used as a flavor enhancer for other healthy foods and not, sometimes I see these images where it's like somebody's got like, literally a plate full of bacon, and it's just
Right.
like, oh my God, bacon. And I'm just like, okay, great. Well, it's fine, but it's not the absolute, best food you could eat on a regular basis, and certainly not in that quantity. And,
Right.
there's always some level of concern over, the frying of meat and,
Yeah.
if it does have some kind of sugar curing on it, then frying meat in sugar basically is actually potentially carcinogenic. So I don't know. I mean, I like bacon just as much as the next person, but as far as building a nutrient dense, healthful diet, I don't think it's on the top of my list as like, yes, use it and use the fat all the time and that kind of stuff. But
Yeah.
hopefully, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, like anything that you're eating, if you can switch to the better form of it, like, if you're eating bacon and you can afford pastured bacon, then I feel like you should just do it. And,
Right.
maybe just throw out that old bacon fat and then get the pastured bacon and start fresh. 'Cause it's just like, it's not worth it to just hold on to that stuff. And, like, it might seem like a waste, but honestly, if it's causing potential health problems, then it's more of a waste to keep it than it is to just get rid of it. So.
Yeah, I agree. Start with the pastured stuff, and I mean, I think one good thing to think of with pastured bacon is usually that it's more expensive, which kind of makes you, not eat it quite as much, which I think is actually probably a smart idea. So instead of eating it every single day, and having platefuls of it like with breakfast, you use it probably more so for flavoring, like we're talking about, or just a slice or two with your breakfast.
Cool. Well, so I mean, I hopefully this person appreciates the answer and will think about getting rid of the conventional bacon fat that they've been saving and just start fresh with some pastured bacon and maybe consider looking into, other types of fats that might be a little bit better.
Yeah, and I think, like even lard is so much less expensive. So you could even just get that and, start there for your traditional fat cooking, use. And you don't have to spend a lot of money on it either. So it's not this big, huge thing that you have to change either.
Right. Cool. Okay, well let's move on to our second question. So this one is for you, Kelsey. And this person asks, My wife and I had both been experiencing severe GERD. A month ago, we reduced our intake of simple carbs and initiated a trial of mastic gum, 500 milligrams twice a day. It's a good probiotic and including digestive enzymes with meals. We stopped taking TUMS and proton pump inhibitors. After a month, we were feeling much better. Our symptoms were belching and bloating, gas, indigestion, and severe reflux. At this point, we are wondering how long we should remain on the supplements. Should we continue them indefinitely, cut back on some or all of them, or what? Any advice would be appreciated. We're not prone to taking drugs or supplements on a long-term basis, but we were so affected by these symptoms that we don't want to randomly change what is now working for us unless we have some guidance.
All right. So, I mean, first of all, congratulations that you got the reflux under control. That's really, really awesome. One thing I wanted to say about the question, so I think they were saying that they started three supplements: mastic gum, 500 milligrams twice a day, a good probiotic, and digestive enzymes with meals. So just to clarify that. So this is a really good question for anyone who takes supplements for, any number of complaints, because of course, after a while, you're hopefully feeling better because of them. And Laura, I'm sure you probably have this same experience with seeing some of your clients that are just taking so many supplements because they never really come off of anything and they just keep adding additional supplements.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So sometimes they're taking things that, they probably shouldn't be taking forever. So sometimes that's part of our job to help people determine what supplements they should try coming off of and, which ones are okay and worth it to stay on for a longer amount of time. So in my opinion, these people aren't taking anything that I'd consider bad to be on for the long term. So if they do find that they can't wean off of any of these quite yet without experiencing symptoms, that's okay. Perfectly fine. It's not like they're taking, oregano oil or something that can kind of decrease the good bacteria in the gut if you take it for a really long time. So I'm okay with everything that they're taking. So I just want to say that before I get started here. So when we're considering coming off of these supplements, especially for reflux, I'd want to know first how long they've been taking them. And I'm not sure that they shared that with us. I say that because I'd really try to keep someone on all three of those for a good 3 months before trying to wean off, just to really make sure things are going well and the GERD symptoms are absolutely under control. After that, though, they could definitely try coming off of some of these. First, I'd probably try coming off of the mastic gum just because, while it's also a soothing thing to take, it's also helpful in reducing counts of H. pylori, which is a bacteria that causes ulcers. So it's possible that it's kind of done its job in the 3 months, and if you tried to come off of it, it could go perfectly fine if, it's done its purpose. But if you have a surge in symptoms, you'll obviously want to go back on it for a couple months and then potentially try coming off of it again. Then after that, once you've gotten off of the mastic gum, you could try coming off the digestive enzymes. Now, especially for those with GERD, this can be difficult because basically the digestive enzymes are helping the body make up the difference if it can't produce enough of the enzymes on its own, and that's very, very common in reflux. It's possible that some people might not be able to come off of these for a very long time, so keep that in mind too. You also want to make sure you come off of them slowly. So if you're taking a couple of pills at each meal, you'll want to decrease the dose by about one pill at a time. And that helps the body realize that it's starting to get less enzymes from the outside world, and then it needs to upregulate its own production of them. You really don't want to shock the body by just stopping cold turkey because you'll most likely end up getting a pretty big increase in symptoms, unfortunately. So take that one really slow and try to remember that it can take a really long time for the body to heal enough to come off of digestive enzymes, and that's perfectly okay. If it could be years. And I've definitely had people where, they've tried many, many times to come off of them and they really have a hard time. In the meantime, if you wanted to slowly decrease the digestive enzymes, you could Use digestive bitters as something to kind of ease that transition a little bit. I've definitely had people do that, and it works pretty well. Because the digestive bitters kind of help to stimulate the digestive enzyme production. So if that's something that you're interested in, you could definitely try that as well. And then finally, out of the three that they're taking is the probiotic. And this is one I'd actually recommend taking for life. Or if you guys aren't consuming probiotics foods, you need to take those in addition to the probiotic supplement or instead of. So the reason I say this is because people with reflux usually have some kind of bacterial imbalance that leads them to get symptoms. So while you may have cured that, it's possible that it could come back. So you want to be preventative about that and take or eat probiotics on a regular basis for good measure. And probiotics have a healing effect on tissue as well. So they're really just a good idea overall for anyone with really any kind of gut disorder, but especially with reflux. Whether you decide to stay on the probiotic pill you're taking or switch to probiotic foods, or do both is up to you, but definitely continue doing at least one of those. So, just to recap here, I would say, start off with trying to get rid of the mastic gum and see how that goes. If it doesn't go well, I'd stay on it for another couple months and try again. Then you can try decreasing the digestive enzymes very slowly to see if your body can start to produce enough of it on its own, potentially using bitters to help kind of get the body to produce more of its own enzymes as well. And then finally, stay on probiotics or probiotic foods or both of those for life to prevent it from reoccurring. Any thoughts on that, Laura?
Well, I think you are very thorough, and I agree with, especially with the tapering off of digestive enzymes, because as you mentioned, the body may get used to the exogenous enzymes coming in, so that means enzymes coming in from outside the body, and it may have downregulated its own production of those enzymes in response. So you don't want to just cold turkey, stop taking them. So it's really a good idea to just kind of taper them down and reduce them over time.
Yeah,
And
you
then
won't be
again,
happy if you stop cold turkey. I can tell you that right
yeah.
now.
So, but yeah, I think, I mean, again, like you were saying, some supplements are fine to take indefinitely, and other ones are not so great to take for a long period of time. So you and I are both kind of on the same page when we work with clients that we try to minimize the amount of supplements that people take. And, sometimes there's some that maybe they only use for a little bit of time and then they stop using it. So, we don't want people to just start collecting supplements and taking, 100 different pills every day. It's just not worth it.
Definitely. And I think this couple, it sounds like, I mean, to be honest, working with a lot of people with reflux, I've had people that it takes them much more than what this couple did to get any, results in terms of reducing their reflux symptoms. So, it sounds like although their reflux was very bad to start with, that they had a somewhat of an easy time, getting their symptoms under control, because it sounds like they were on PPIs before, which, from my experience with people with reflux on PPIs, it can take a lot more than that to not only to reduce their reflux symptoms, but also to help them get off the PPI if that's what they're looking for.
Right. And sometimes people just can never get off them,
Exactly.
unfortunately. So, and you can definitely mitigate the symptoms, but there's a lot of people out there that just they've been on them so long that it's to completely come off is not necessarily in the picture.
Yeah, so the fact that they were able to come off of the PPIs and still are pretty much, it sounds like, perfectly fine in terms of their symptoms, that to me is kind of a good sign that they would likely be able to come off of these supplements. Like they might, their biggest help may have just been reducing the simple carbohydrates more than anything else. Sometimes that is all it takes. And so I would say, just from hearing their story, that they might be more likely than other people with reflux to be able to come off of all of their supplements, because In my experience, most people end up on at least some form of supplementation to keep their symptoms at bay pretty much for life in terms of reflux, especially if they're coming off of a PPI. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Cool. Well, hopefully that question or that answer is helpful to these people. I feel like it should be. And, you know, sometimes it can be helpful to work with somebody in this case. Sounds like this couple did pretty well on their own. So yeah, that's great. But, you know, if you're attempting the same process that they are and you're not necessarily getting immediate benefits the way they did, then a lot of times it can be a good idea to find somebody that is knowledgeable about GERD and is able to help you kind of work through the treatment plan.
Definitely.
So, all right. Well, thanks for checking this out, everybody. And again, if you want to submit a question for us to answer, you can do so through the private Q&A section on the forum. And we look forward to seeing you around next time.
All right. Take care, Laura.
You too.